Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. John Crockett here. Footy is finally back, people. We had the round one of the JLT series kick off over the weekend, and we're just going to bring you a play-by-play of what happened throughout the weekend. And to do that, Statesman, welcome to the show, mate.
Whatever, gentlemen. I have a relationship problem, and it's with the JLT. The relationship is a bit like a lovely young lass coming and spending the evening on your couch, just ready to watch a movie, and she just keeps on texting someone else and giggling and blushing all the time, because that's what it feels like. It's sort of giving you something and taking away all the work that you've done. But let's face it, we've got to settle down, let the 3 weeks pan out, and start making firm decisions once we understand what the structures of each club is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's the JLT. Take it with a grain of salt. I'll watch it, but I'm not taking Josh Kelly number one overall.
So did you watch it on the micro screen like everyone else through the AFL app?
I did, actually. I watched it. You know what the real middle finger is with that? Is when you watch the replay, it's in full size.
I know. I was watching the Hawks-Cats game on my phone. After about 5 minutes, I had to switch it off because I was just getting a headache from squinting. Absolutely ridiculous. If you're Foxtel, here's an idea, guys. Make an app.
No, it's Telstra.
I know it's Telstra, but Foxtel have the rights to the footy. They can make their own app and stream it in full screen and charge people $60.
Yeah, then they have to get the mobile rights.
Oh, is it through mobile rights and tablets?
Mobile rights. It's
completely different.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. So that's probably why they haven't done it yet.
Well, I think they're all just making cash off the poor suckers who watch their sport.
Yeah, I was one of them until I cancelled that subscription, so I'm going to have to go down to the pub and watch the footy now.
We get it for free, and I'm not loving it, but it's fine.
Yeah. On the iPad, it wasn't too bad, but the iPhone was just ridiculous.
I saw someone hacked it, and they were filming their iPhone with their iPad and then streaming the filming on the TV through the AirPlay.
Wow.
And it worked. And that's people.
But you've got to sit there and hold it.
No, you had it set up on a stand. It was brilliant.
Engineering, I love it.
Yeah.
In some other news today or over the weekend, we saw Jordan Roughhead go down in 8 weeks, what we thought was a knee originally, but turns out he tore his hamstring pretty badly. Alex Rance will not play over the weekend. He is just being monitored with a little hammy strain.
Sound good, Jono.
It doesn't sound good. Pulled out there. The worst one, though, was Sam Day, dislocated hip. So they're saying he's out for pretty much the year now, and they likened the injury to a car accident, being hit by a car. It's just horrible.
Doesn't sound good at all.
And my boy, who I had a lot of love for this year, Cam Guthrie, out for the next couple of weeks with a slight calf strain, which he did in the early rounds of the game. And the Statesman's favourite, Lee Montagna, will miss the first week of the JLT with a calf strain.
Calf, old man's injury. Surprise, surprise.
Is that the same calf that Deledio does every year?
Old man's injury.
And I believe, Steve, we've got a special show dropping on Friday.
Yeah, John, a real big one for all our great listeners out there. We've got a special treat for you on Friday this week. So if you listen to this on Wednesday, in 2 days' time, we're going to release our fantasy best and fairest show. We're going to talk about the player we think is going to make the biggest difference to your side, whether it's a stud who goes to another level or a sleeper or a mid-range guy. But it's not just going to be us, Jono.
It's not.
We've got some of the best fantasy analysts out there. I'm talking Warning from the Traders. We've got the Phantom.
Phantom.
The Adelaide Advertiser. Some of the Overline Sports guys are helping us out. So we've got some absolute stars, and they're going to give their thoughts. And, man, I can't wait for this show. This is, as you know, I've been putting this show together over a month. It's been a pet project.
It's been a bit longer than that, I think. But
yeah, well,
It's ready to go. I can't wait to hear it come Friday. If you'd like to follow us on social media, You can do that by heading over to Twitter, where we are at the Draft Doctors, or you can follow our old mate Statesman, who is at Statesman33. Or, hey, the website's up now. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, or you can head over to Facebook, leave us a question there. Just search in the Draft Doctors, see what we're putting up there, and enjoy. But today, we're just going through the first round of the JLT series.
The Just Lindsay Thomas Community Series.
Man, he looked a bit proppy on Sunday. I don't know if he was diving or was the humidity. I don't know. Not too good. But there was the six games there on the Sunday, on the weekend, and we're just going to run through them. Starting off with Essendon and Collingwood, Steve, to take Collingwood and Statesman with the Bombers. Fire away, Steve.
So it was really interesting. Collingwood snuck over the line after being down most of the game. But so many of their stars were out. All the prime movers with your Penderbury, Taylor Adams, Treloar, Brody Grundy, Daniel Wells, the ghost of Ben Reid. So it was a lot of the younger guys and the second-tier players who were in the midfield a lot of the time. But probably the most significant thing that happened for Collingwood was the Ben Sinclair injury.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
No, he looks like that. That looks like a four-weeker to me. But what it's done, Jono, I think it's opened up a spot for a guy we've been talking about as a great sleeper pick in Josh Smith.
He's scored pretty well over the weekend.
Yeah, he scored really well. And we saw last year when he got his chance, he's a bit of a ball magnet, obviously a mature age recruit. But he just finds space. He finds the ball. He put out, what did he score? 93 Dream Team, 90 Supercoach.
Solid.
So they used him as a small defender when Sinclair went down. And I really feel like it opens up a spot for him to either start on the ground or at least be a bench interchange player. So big chance for Josh Smith, I think. Obviously, the star of the night for Collingwood was Tom Phillips, DPP mid-forward, scored 113, Dream Team 106, running machine, was coming off half-back, push forward. It's hard to say. I mean, it's round one of the JLT.
Yeah, like, everyone's out to impress.
People might just look at the score and say he should be in, but I think they're going to give the nod to Smith.
Yeah.
But I guess that's something that's going to play out. Really interesting guy. Thought Jordan Goey.
A lot of talk about him.
Yeah, he 22 disposals, 9 clearances, kicked a couple goals when the game was there to be had. And, you know, with all the prime movers out, he got his chance to step up as an inside mid. And, you know, he didn't disappoint. I think it was showed all the flashes. We know he's an impact player.
Yep.
But it seems like he might be one of those slow burn players rather than someone who's going to jump up 15, 20 points in a season. I don't think he's going to be... He'll get some midfield rotations, but I think he'll be primarily half forward. But he's still a good sleeper value, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting thing, Collingwood just don't seem to have a genuine second ruck.
They do not.
Like, Mason Cox played primarily in the ruck, but he's on the rookie list. Lachie Keefe, they pinch hit him in there with no great success. There's a lot of talk about these... ruck setups this year with your Brisbane and North Melbourne maybe looking at using a second ruck. Brody Grundy ain't in that boat.
No.
Like to me, it really reaffirmed his standing as a sole ruckman and a great draft pick, I think. So those were all my thoughts on Collingwood. It was really hard to gauge with so many stars out, but
that'll build over the JLT where we'll see these superstars come back in the side, and you get a better gauge of it probably, what, round three?
See, an interesting guy is Levi Greenwood, who's also got forward status this year. I just feel like he's slipping down the pecking order a little bit.
Yep.
And it's going to be interesting to see. He might not be a guy who plays 22 games, but I think people will end up drafting him.
Just because of that DPP status, you think?
Yeah, I think they've seen the scores from years past, but I just worry that, you know, unless there's injuries, like, you know, if Wells gets injured and if Elliot gets injured, then maybe he sneaks in. But,
well, we did see Elliot go off the injury, the training track the other day with the ankle injury.
Yeah, that's right. So it was interesting to see how his form is. I know he's put in a big preseason, but I'm a little bit concerned about his position in the team.
Yes, I actually was quite impressed with Collingwood. De Goey was the one that really done it for me because he probably gave himself the opportunity to get more midfield rotations than probably he was going to be set up originally, and just by proving they can have a major impact in the game. But again, wasn't a lot of pressure on, so they were free to utilise the space that was available. But that's part of the lesson and relationship problem I'm having with the JLT. Moving on to Essendon, I broke it down into, and each of the clubs I've looked after, into a please, slant, impress list and a not-so-good hit out. For the please list for Essendon, Fantasia was first off the list, scored 86 points from 81 minutes. We all saw how talented he was last year, and he's really taken the opportunity to confirm a position in the top 22 at that club. Very talented player. The problem was when his role changed from having a bit of wing time to going deep forward, he just wasn't getting the scores. And really that was all about opportunities. The difference this year is you've got all your talent back and you've got your midfielders back. So the opportunities up forward are actually going to open up. And it wasn't a great amount of possessions he got, but the way he uses the footy is exceptional. So kicking four goals straight was a remarkable effort in a shortened game like that. And I can think you can actually see Fantasia averaging between two and three goals. And I would suspect if he spends a majority of time inside 50, that he might end up being the leading goal kicker. Fair enough. I think Danaher will be the main target, but let's face it, he sprays it a bit, and I think Fantasia will be able to clean up after him.
Do you see Fantasia playing that Luke Dalhouse role that we saw him play when he came off the rookie list, that defensive forward, puts the pressure axe on, and also snags himself a few goals until he builds that tank?
I don't think he's the defensive forward type. I think he's the real attacking. So it's the ball in his hands type rather than putting the pressure on. Of course, the game plan would suggest that everyone's a defensive player. That should be at every club. So you still will put pressure on the opposition ball carriers. But the reality is he's that talented. He is a great option when things aren't going that well in the midfield to actually put him through, because he's got that silky skills. But he won't be high rotation in the midfield. But as a F4 or 5, I think he's going to be great value. And I actually headhunted him a little bit after the weekend in a trade I'd done. And I actually picked him over Yo, because I could have had either. That's how impressed I was with his performance. The next one is Zach Merritt, 71 points from 89 minutes. Points per minute result wasn't fantastic, but look, the kid's got it. I think once that team starts gelling around Zach, he is going to rack up the points this year. And I've been hot on him all along. But just the way he buzzes around, he's just got some urgency about him. And if you're doing that at JLT1, that's going to come big time. So, look, really impressed with Zach. The next one was Joe Watson, 69 points from 70 minutes. That's top rate when you're talking points per minute. But he spent a fair bit of his time up forward. So there's the added benefit of possibly getting a DPP mixed in as well. But he looked refreshed. He looked like he was just enjoying it, like he was having a day out with his mates. And that's fantastic to see, because we know he's had a tough time. So rap for him personally, but I was impressed with his result. The other one is Parrish, 85 from 73. Once the whole team gets in there, it's going to be interesting to see where he sits. But look, really impressed. He was working in and under, which is absolutely fantastic. But points per minute on a JLT, that was really impressive. The not-so-good hit-outs were Heppel, 54 from 64 minutes. He just looked rusty. I saw the game in replay the following day, and I'd sort of got the heads up that he looked a bit poor, and he actually looked slow. Now, I'm unsure what his pre-season's been like, or is it just, you know, you've been out of footy for so long. So we do need to give him a few more games to see how he goes. But I'll be honest, he was taken out of my salary cap squad very quickly after that performance. I'm going, you know, that sort of 10% discount's not enough. The next one was Kelly, spent 80 minutes on the ground, so one of the highest for Essendon, and only 50 points, where last year he would have built it out 90 with that time frame. So the role with the talent back is a bit of a concern, so it'll be interesting to see how he continues. And the other one is the gun recruit, McGrath. We need to give him time, I know, but 80 minutes on the ground as well for a total of 17 points. That's just a thing where you've got to say, well, for a keeper, yes, we've got to bring him in because he might keep defender. But for season draft, no. He's a waiver wire option only once he builds his confidence.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was watching the game and it was really noticeable how Heppel was going because he just didn't have that class that he...
It's like he was a second slower than the rest of the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think that what the statesman says is correct. You've got to give these guys a couple months to at least get their legs back.
Yep.
So I think Heppel's a guy... I think you'll have to draft Watson because I think you'll get him late enough for a good player in your draft. Mm. So he's one of those guys who will improve his value. But Heppel might be one of those guys that people just expect to slot straight back in and pick up as though he's never left off.
Yeah.
So he might be a guy I'll look to target sort of trading after round five if his scores are a little bit down and hope to maybe trade away a player or two who have come out of the gates and swap it, do a two for one and get some value there.
Aaron Hall.
Well, you know, these things happen. We've got to, like, as much as we're not talking about salary cap there, you know, it's like, oh, Josh Kennedy starts slow. Well, if Josh Kennedy starts slow, then he should be a player you're trying to target after 6 weeks.
That's right.
Because you might be able to trade for some fantastic value. Heppel might fall into that same boat.
Yep.
And maybe even Michael Hurley as well, because he really didn't play much game time.
I think only 50%.
So. These guys need to get games into their legs.
Yeah, they certainly do. But again, that flip side, they're probably only managing them because they haven't played that intensity. They're worried about soft tissue injuries.
Sure,
so
sure.
It's a catch-22, but they'll build that fitness coming over the preseason games, I guess. Moving on now, I'm going to talk about the Friday night game between the Hawks and the Cats. Starting off with the Hawks, winning the game after the siren down in there in Tasmania. I'm going to talk about Steve's favourite boy, Sean Burgoyne. Caught my attention.
Get around him.
Only 52 Dream Team, 92 Super Coach.
Yeah. Look at that class.
From 89% game time.
So the old boy played a bit of game.
He played most of the game, but what was interesting, he played everywhere. Like every time I'd look up, he was in the midfield, he was in the defence, he's in the forward line. So I don't see that happening throughout the whole year once you get your Tom Mitchells, your Hodges and all that back. But I do see him settling down defence where we know he's played all those years before and looked right at range. So he's going to be a great value for your drafts. Like, I know we did the mock draft and I picked him up as my third defender. So I was actually pretty happy with that as much as an ageist I am. Good to see Jared Rufford come back for his first game after beating cancer. Only the 60 Dream Team and 63 Super Coach from the 83% time on ground. But good old Al Clarkson, he moved him up on the wing, put him in the ruck. So I don't know. We're going to have to keep an eye on him for this one. But he could potentially be a DPP player this year if he does get up into that ruck. Because you've got Big Boy McAvoy. You've got Ty Vickery as well. We know Ruffy's been that ruck forward before. But if he is that ruck forward, get on now, and then you're going to be golden for the rest of this season. The other guy who we've all been talking about of the preseason, Isaac Smith. 74 Dream Team, 101 Super Coach from 86 time on ground. Guess where he played? On the wing.
Mm.
So only the 21 possessions, 3 marks and a goal. Without Tom Mitchell and Sean Burgle, Luke Hodge, I think that's where he's going to be, where he's played over the previous season, so still a great score for Isaac Smith there and mid forward.
Yeah, I might have to start moving Isaac Smith up my rankings, I think.
Yeah, if he's going to be pumping out that sort of stuff, like we always know he's that better dream teamer, but still 101 for super coach, quite good. The new boy in town, Jago Mira, only played the half of footy, but looked super impressive at 47.
I must have been watching a different game to everyone else.
Really?
I didn't see it.
No, just the 12 disposals, 5 tackles and 9 clearances.
Didn't...
I wasn't blown away.
Really?
No.
But here's the funny thing.
I know the stats were fine.
No, this, the stats. When he was on the ground getting all those clearances, Hawthorn were dominating the game in the first half. Second half comes along, he's hit the showers. Hawthorn started to get dominated.
I understand.
With no Tom Mitchell there, that's going to counteract each other. But he's one to watch for me now. I actually thought, no way am I going to draft Jago Amira, but...
Yeah. Well, what's his range, Jono? What's his draft range?
For me, yeah. Or just...
In general. Well, for you. Would you be happy taking him?
I would be happy taking him in round 15.
Yeah, he's...
But he's going to be gone by then. Yeah. But, like I said, if he keeps shooting up, I'll have to adjust my rankings on that.
Yeah.
One guy who bought the old stinky cheese was my burn man, Josh Gibson. 70% time on ground, 100% disposal efficiency for 35 Dream Team and 40 Supercoach.
It's going to happen.
But he's playing on his old mate Harry Taylor. He should have destroyed this guy, but just them two playing each other looked absolutely horrible. I don't want any part of him. I think I called it earlier in the year. He's cooked for me. I even called it last year. He was cooked, especially in that last final. And my other one is Ty Vickery. I've been talking about him a little bit. Had a look. He pinch hit in the ruck. There was no Gunston, so he's getting the second forward. 7 hitouts. Yeah, I've got a little bit of interest in him. A little bit of interest in him. For the Cats, my boy, Zach Tui, in his first game for the Cats, rolled out just 33 possessions, 7 marks, 107 Dream Team, 130 Supercoach points. Steve, you didn't believe me when I said he was going to be the Corey Enright Mark II.
No.
You still don't believe me?
It's JLT1. It's JLT1, Jono.
Not getting on the
JLT1.
There you go.
There we go.
Is Jackson Thurlow's middle initial L?
Oh, we'll get to Jackson Thurlow.
Yeah.
We'll get to Jackson Thurlow.
He's going to be an 80 average defender.
We know Zach Tui's got the high ceiling. Mm. We know that. We've used Zach Tui last year a lot of the time.
But the Cat players actually looked for Zach Tui to rebound out of...
Yeah, you've got to give the new guy a leg up. And I'll be honest, he did move into my top 30 defenders.
There we go.
Yeah, he moved up the charts for me too.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, gentlemen. Zach Smith, even though he wasn't playing against the greatest of ruckmen, could be one you get late there. 79 Dream Team, 102 Supercoach. Shared that ruck role with Reece Stanley. Got the 29 hitouts. Just don't know how he's going to go against those more dominant ruckmans like your Sandys, your Mumfords, and your Gorns. Sam Menegola, he was an interesting one. Interests me.
Like him.
Pardon, Stephen?
I said I like him.
74% time on ground, 92 Dream Team, 90 Supercoach, playing inside mid without Selwood there, with Selwoods. 24 possessions, 7 tackles, 8 clearances. 12 contested possessions. Again, a one to watch because we know Selwood wasn't there playing the inside mid role. But what was interesting was Mitch Duncan. He was actually playing the outside midfielder. So I don't know if Chris Scott's just trying something there just over the JLT. So, again, one to watch. But moving on to Duncan. Again, only played the half of football. 21 possessions, 6 tackles.
Love it.
Yeah, there you go. So if he's on the outside, get on board Mitch Duncan. Jackson Thurlow, with Cam Guthrie going down with that calf strain, he moved into that role. So 75% time on ground for 68 and 74 Supercoach.
Big second half, Jono.
He did have a big second half. So I'm actually...
Let's give him time. He's coming back off the ACL.
You took the words right out of my mouth there, Steve. I was going to watch him over the preseason, see how he slots into that team. But he looked pretty comfortable in the second half. But two players that I didn't like. Our old mate, Caprichosa. Stacey's just licking his lips here for that free pass.
It's JLT1. Mate, I hope he stinks it up.
Putrid.
I hope he stinks it to
absolutely
high
putrid. I don't know what he was doing. If he was just trying to burn off that Patriot before the game, but spent 85% time on ground for absolutely zero. But Steve, he probably will work himself into the season and prove our statesman wrong.
How many top-line players did you see just loaf their way around the first game?
Pretty much all of them.
There you go.
And one of those ex-top players was Harry Taylor. With Chris Scott's super coach mastermind move here, put him down forward. Nah, didn't work. Put him back in defence where he takes those intercept marks, scores well from that. I don't want him any part of him if he's a forward.
One thing that did scare me about Caprichosa was Nakia Cockatoo actually looked pretty handy.
Yeah, but Cockatoo does have that.
I'm not saying for fantasy. I'm just saying he looks a player.
Looks a player. Okay. Now, fair
built
enough.
Built up. Built up. He's put some muscle on.
Yeah, but he's got some good tricks. He's got some wheels. He's got some class. I think if I was in a keeper league, he might be someone I'd be thinking about grabbing.
Great.
Absolutely. Now, Steve and Statesman, you're going to dissect the GWS and West Coast game. Steve.
Well, what a ripping game it was. Absolute barn burner out in Narandra. Wherever the hell that is.
Where is that?
I think it's out the
Northwest New South Wales or something.
It's something like that. I don't know. Anyway, we were talking about a depleted GWS team led by Josh Kelly. What a cool name. It's just a cool name. I wish my name was Josh Kelly.
Have you heard of Deepole?
Hey?
Deepole.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll go Whiskers first. But anyway, look, he obviously destroyed it. 29 possessions, 13 of those contested, 7 clearances. But there is no Callan Ward, no Dylan Shield, no Steve Coniglio, no everyone. But he did have 9 tackles.
That's good.
I love that. If you're laying 9 tackles in a preseason game, man, you are on my watch list. So I think everyone's kind of waiting. I think in a draft league, people like being on the guy when they break out.
Yep.
You really feel a part of that breakout.
I was on Coniglio last year and I felt
great. Oh, Jono telling his hero stories again. What a shock. All right, so people, I'm just not getting carried away with Josh Kelly just yet. Ooh. I think he'll be great, but I'm just a little bit. We'll wait and see when the other stars come back. I'm a little bit. I think it could happen this year, but I'm just
cool.
I'm
skeptical.
I want Ryan Griffin to get the hell out of that team.
Me too.
Okay, another guy I wanted to talk about, Tim Taranto. Obviously a very high draft pick, very highly rated. Got some touches. Now, one thing I will say about this is it makes me think that maybe they won't. You got a few of these guys like Taranto and Hopper who could play. Well, Hopper probably will play with old druggy McDrug out of the team. What's his
Whitfield.
Name? Whitfield. So he might be, look, with Delidio being injured, he might be someone who just finds his way into a couple games and maybe they don't rush Delidio back because he's, crippled by injury. So it's just an eye. John Patton played a pretty big game, clunked a few good marks, kicked some goals against, West Coast didn't throw much out there either. But he could have some streaming value. Rory Lobb, guys. Rory Lobb. A lot of people are saying, yeah, he's going to be the second ruck. He is not going to be the second ruck. Get that out of your thoughts. He won't be this year.
He won't ever.
I don't see it. They don't want him to do that. They have every chance to do it. Last year, they brought in Tom Downey. This preseason game, they gave all the ruck time to Dawson Simpson. Downey backed him up.
Yeah.
Rory Lobb is not going to get DPP ruck. This year, no chance, and probably won't get it next year either. So if you're selecting him, you are selecting him as a forward. This is what they are doing with him. But, yeah, with so many stars out, it was really hard to get any sort of take on this game. But my big thoughts would be Rory Lobb, just streaming value against Brisbane, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And moving on to the West Coast Eagles, my pleased and impressed list, Wellingham was on the top of that, 114 points from 81 minutes.
Let me just go get my vomit bag, sorry.
He was affected by injuries last year, but he could be a good pickup late in defence and could average the 75 to 80, which will be not a bad scenario for a D5. Dom Sheed, obviously with a lot of midfielders out, but he was impressive. He's 93 points off 83 minutes. I did like his game, and I was quite impressed, but I'm really worried about how much midfield time he's actually going to get when all those class players return. So there was no Mitchell, there was no Pritis, there was no Gaff. So there's a fair bit to come in before we even consider how much midfield time Dom Sheed's going to get. But the future is bright for him. Mitchell and Pritis aren't getting any younger. I don't know when it's going to be, but opportunities in the midfield will come in the future for Dom Sheed. Jack Redden was actually quite impressive too, which is another one that's got to be competing with Dom. 85 from 75, back in form, but exactly the same as Sheed. I just don't know how much midfield time he's going to get. And again, I think he's a little bit similar to those Mitchell Pritis types. The not-so-good hit-out was very clear. It was one player, so all the good mids are out. Where was Chris Marston? Well, effectively, he was nowhere. 54 from 80. With so many out, he shouldn't be that low. He should be getting plenty of the footy. And I reckon Dom Sheed and Jack Redden just showed that they probably deserve midfield time ahead of him. So that's good for those two players and probably not so good for Chris.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree. I like Sheed, but he's not gonna be usable, I wouldn't have thought, this year.
He's a mid that's going to get 80 to 85. That means really not much at all.
I mean, unless he starts playing half forward, which I kind of think is a possibility, and later on gets the dual eligibility.
So the only way he's really going to get that mid time if there's a key injury to that midfield, you'd think.
I guess so, yeah.
Come on, Sam Mitchell, get injured.
Jesus Christ. This show just took a bad turn.
Move on
to the next game.
The next game I'm going to talk about is the Bulldogs versus Melbourne. Starting off with the Doggies. Someone forgot to tell Luke Dalhouse this was a JLT match.
My God.
He just went... I won't swear. He just went bonkers.
That's good.
115 Dream Team, 143 Supercoach. Two goals, eight tackles. Just lock him in as your number one forward in both formats. He is just going absolutely crazy this year. Five clearances as well. Lock him in. Don't forget about it. Jack McRae, you might think he looked a bit slow and tired. It's the first game back. He only played 56% of the game. Just cruising around on the wing for the 13 possessions. We know we've talked about him as that first forward picked in both formats. Again, he'll be fine for the run leading up into round one, so don't worry about that. Tom Liberatore was an interesting one for me. 76% time on ground for 76 Dream Team, 91 Super Coach. So slowly building back to that sort of scores we saw back in 2014 before the injury. 20 possessions, 7 tackles, 6 clearances. The only thing is I don't like with Luke Beveridge is he rotates him forward, and that he's not a forward. He just doesn't have that footy nous, really, to play forward and kick goals. He's just a wrecking ball. So leave him in the guts where he gets tackles, gets clearances, gets the balls out to the runners there. One guy, it makes me sick talking about him, Travis Cloak. I know it's only round one, but he actually looked really good. He's trimmed down, taken marks everywhere, kicked straight, which is probably not to the delight of Collingwood fans there.
Well, he probably didn't have balls sailing over his head or coming in at his feet every time.
So it's actually better that he's got a team that can use the ball well.
Kick a ball to him, yeah.
So, yeah, well, he looks sharp. So very, very much one to watch. Like, you're going to get him late in your draft, you would think, but...
Round 23.
Sorry?
Round 23.
Round 23?
Fair enough. 24, please.
Yeah, that's right. He might have streaming, though.
Oh, he certainly could, especially against, as we've always spoken about, Brisbane Lions.
Yep.
Jake Stringer looks to have gone backwards. I know it's only JLT, but he just...
Jake Stringer's terrible for fantasy.
I know he's terrible for fantasy, but I know he's always been that impact player, but he was just terrible on the ground. Just, what was he even doing there? So...
He probably doesn't care. It's JLT.
He probably doesn't care. That's true. And he doesn't care about football. Moving on to Melbourne now. Jordan Lewis, he looked cherry ripe, ready to go in his first game for the D's. 28 possessions, 5 marks, 3 tackles. It looked first quarter and a bit just finding his way into the team, but after that, giving out the directions to Viney and Jones and the rest of the team. 95 Dream Team, 105 Super Coach. So very happy if you get Jordan Lewis later on. Nathan Jones actually played a little bit down defence there for them, for the D's. Finished off with 112 Super Coach, 89 Dream Team. Was playing inside mid for majority of the game, but with Viney and Lewis, but did play down back a little bit. Used the ball well, 90% disposal efficiency, which is quite good for Nathan.
What do you mean? He's a good ball user.
I know. That's quite good, especially for a JLT when you haven't played a match. Old mate Bernie Vince doing what he did best, running around off the half back line. 88 Dream Team, 97 Super Coach, 91% time on ground. Does what he does best. That disposal efficiency is still going to be the one that stops him from ever being that elite scorer, but still be pretty handy if you can get him as your defensive one. I'd be happy with that. Would you, Steve?
In Dream Team, I wouldn't mind him
yep.
as a defender one, but in Super Coach, I'd probably like to have someone else locked away.
Okay, fair enough. Another guy I've got a big crush on is Angus Brayshaw. This guy was running around on the wing for 74% game time, 88 Dream Team, 85 Super Coach. Got the 16 possessions, 7 tackles. Loved it. Hope this guy can stay fit, because if he can get him, he's mid-forward this year, if he can get him as an F4, F5, he can get just an 85 average, that'd just be perfect. Also, other guys to mention, Clayton Oliver was pretty good. I think you'd agree, Statesman, if you can get him in your keeper league, you'd be loving it right now.
I don't think he'll be available if you've got any more than 12 keepers, but those that are as low as 8, he'll be available, so he should be round number 1 at the draft.
There you go. And one bloke who returned from the dead was Christian Salem. shaking your head there, Steve?
Just light a match.
Whoosh. Gone.
A lot of people are just, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
And then something will happen.
It could happen.
It could happen.
I'm not taking
it. And your old mate, Jesse Hogan, without his...
He killed it, man.
4 goals straight.
Hey, I love Jesse Hogan. I think he's a gun.
Hey, without Jack Watts there, he's become the number one forward.
Ooh, Jack Watts, what's going on there?
Did you hear Maxie Gorn on the radio on Monday?
No.
Just said, oh, no, there was more guys. There was other guys who performed better in pre-season training to warrant a game.
Love it. Get out.
Doesn't sound good.
That's pretty bad for Melbourne's best key forward if you can't even get a run in the JLT.
I reckon.
Sam Wiedemann, now your best key forward.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
But, I do have one concern on that game, which was the former Spencer. Now, I had a few ruck alerts, alarm bells ringing in my head. We've seen so many drafts come up with 4 ruckmen coming in the first 2 rounds, and some of them in the top 30. And at the moment, I can be only truly, really assured of one of those top 4. They're going to be the standalone main ruckman for the year. What's going to happen at Melbourne with a new coach? And I know Maxie scored well as a forward, but he's not going to do that every week. Is this the future?
I certainly hope not, because we know Gorn's come out and said he wants to be the number one ruckman, but it's pre-season. It's JLT. They're just giving this guy a bit of game time just to give him a bit of hope, maybe get his value up when they trade him out maybe at the end of the year.
I wouldn't have thought so, but it's got to, like I was saying about Brody Grundy before, it's got to make you feel good about him.
Absolutely.
Mm.
And for ruckman, if they're all coming back to the pack and all of a sudden Sam Jacobs is not clearly number 5, he may be clearly number 2.
I've heard bad reports about Sam Jacobs.
Oh, really?
This preseason.
Talking his character or the way he plays?
His fantasy value, buddy.
Oh, fair enough.
I've heard he's a star off the field.
Beautiful.
if you'd like to follow the show, download the show, please do by checking out us on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. Hit the subscribe button on any of those 3, and also the reviews. We love it when our fans, listeners, leave us a review, so only takes a few minutes. Happy to read it out on the show. It helps us. You guys get a kick out of it, so please.
Do that.
Hey, everyone likes, if you listen to a show, you hear your name called out.
Big time show.
Yeah, it's something. But you guys are going to talk about the Sydney v North game now.
Yes, and I'll start with the Sydney Swans. And my please slant in press list starts with Callum Mills, 110 from 76 minutes in a very classy display. Obviously, that team want the ball in his hands. He played a bit of a floating zone, which is probably what I expect to happen throughout the season. But he probably had a bit more time in the midfield than what I expect will actually happen for season proper. So I think you can take the sort of 15 to 20 points off that to be more realistic. But there's no doubt that floating zone, if that's the way they end up playing, then what he'll do, he'll just follow a kick behind the play and just constantly effectively be a loose man in defence, but 50 to 55 metres behind where the ball is. And that's going to put him in scoring opportunities. So he can impact the scoreboard as a defender, which is a very impressive thing when you're talking about scoring. So very impressed with Callum Mills. The next one, of course, how could we not forget the blonde bombshell himself, Isaac Heaney, 99 points for 81 minutes. Forward and mid rotations. Obviously, we all know there's a breakout looming. Did an article, which is up on the website at the moment, just talked about similar type players and what their breakout year looked like in terms of point scoring increase. And I'm predicting between the 15 and 20 points increase for Isaac. You won't have that much midfield time come season proper because you found that JPK spent time up forward obviously Hanbury didn't spend a lot of time in solid midfield as well. But I think he will get that added rotation in the midfield from last year each and every quarter, which means his points, even without natural development, is going to increase by the 10 to 15. Zach Jones was another one, was quite impressive. He's been accused of butchering the footy at times, but you cannot deny that Zach Jones is hard at it. So you can tell his brother is leadership material. 98 points from 83 minutes. Yes, he's rough around the edges, but I think he's going to fit into one of the slots that have become available. The other one impressed me, but we're talking very late in the draft, but Nick Newman has 63 points from 89 minutes. And there's an argument that that may be more value in the salary cap world, but this man proved that he could be the 75 to 80 point scorer. And I think he's actually going to get that spot at halfback flank. We need to see it for a few more weeks yet. But based on the points per minutes, he can get around that 80, and he's done very well in that very well credentialed competition called the NEFL. The not so good hit outs were Hanbury and JPK. Don't panic about that. They were letting the young guns have a run in the midfield because it was a test case. Who's going to actually get that last midfield spot? JPK spent a lot of time up forward, and Luke Parker spent a bit of time up forward as well. But Luke still scored very well, which is a really good sign for him.
Did he play? I watched that game. I didn't even notice him out there.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
About you.
I'm actually staring you down now. It's not so good for a podcast, but a really good for television. We'll get there one day. Luke Parker played quite well, mate. You honestly can't remember him playing.
I had a lot to drink on Sunday, so no.
Fair enough.
If you ever hear Jono, there's two things he constantly says. When he's wrong, I had a lot to drink. When he's right, gut feel. That's it.
I will say, and it's the same with JLT, it's really your midline and your bottom end players, if they're elevating and if they've got role changes. Your absolute elite, like your Hanbury's and your JPK's and your Luke Parker's and your Lockie Neal's, they are already primos. You don't worry about them. They're just building into the season. It's the others we want to concentrate on.
Yeah, it's a nice little toot-toot for the old fizz man, Zach Jones. Called it a while back.
Hang on, just pat yourself on the back there, mate. It's only pre-season, just calm down.
Oh, I can't. When I get something right, I've got to enjoy it. Because it doesn't happen often, Jono.
It does not.
But there was another side out there, the team that won.
Was it?
North Melbourne. A few takeaways. I don't think anyone's going to argue when Sean Higgins is fit, he's a jet.
He did look good.
And I've had Sean Higgins in my top 30 for the forwards. I don't see any. We know the only problem with him, he gets injured all the time. But look, he's what they need in their midfield. He's the only classy player they've really got when it comes to their ball users for mine. So 91 Dream Team, 100 Super Coach, 21 disposals and a goal in only 69% time on ground. This is the thing with the forwards. There's so many if guys, if they break out, if they get a role change, if they do this. Well, we've seen Sean Higgins going in the 14th and 15th round of our mocks, and we know his scores are there.
Proof in the pudding.
Okay, so you don't have to. I always think it's interesting when you know people want to be on the young guys because it could happen. Well, if you had Sam Gray last year and we're expecting a breakout, he was just sitting on your field stinking it up and you had to play him until it got too much. Well, Sean Higgins, if he's either going to get injured and you can just cut him, or you're going to roll out with some nice scores for along the way. So that's an interesting one. The other guy I really liked was Jay McMillan, who I've also been pretty high on. 26 disposals. He's the guy using the ball out of the back half. He was kicking in, which I think he probably continue to do. We know he's got boom potential. So I think you're going to get him 100. He won't be a top 10 rounder.
11, 12, 13 round if you're looking at him.
So he's... I'm certainly high on him. I mean, we watch these North players. There's not a lot of great ball users in that side for mine. So I think, they're a lot of good tacklers.
Yep.
So they can apply pressure once they turn it over, but, the ball might be heading down the other way a little bit. Nathan Hovatt was someone who a lot of people are interested in. Had the 68% time on ground, kicked two goals. One of them was... they say he's taken over the Brent Harvey role. Well, Brent Harvey couldn't have handballed it a step behind Sean Higgins any better, so he had to give it back and let him kick the goal any better. Classic hospital job there. So he had the 63 Dream Team, 94 Super Coach. Definite sleeper of value, but I wasn't blown away. And there's
it really took him a long time to get into that game.
For me, there's shades of Ben Ken about him. A guy who's changed clubs because he's not good enough at one, and he's going to play that half forward role. Yes, he can do some nice things, but can he do it enough in a team that's pegged as a struggler? I'm not so sure. He might start well, but we all remember what happened to Ben Ken last year.
Who?
Sam Gibson is an absolute dream team beast. 40% time on ground? He's 17 touches. Man, you can't have him in Supercoach because he's a classic butcher, but, man, he can find that pill.
Like he was running off the back line there in the first quarter, so I don't know if they're just trying something. But
well, they plonk him on a wing and he just runs back and forward like the Energizer bunny. Sean Atlas, will he score enough?
No.
Every year he's been going into every single year this man's going into the midfield because they need to inject some pace, but he's just not a midfielder for mine.
Well, I was actually having a chat with Statesman about this, and I'm like, oh, Atlee's in the midfield. He's like, does not score. So I look, pull up the stats, 15 disposals, no marks, no tackles.
Yeah, look, if he's going to play in the, I can't have it. If he's going to do it, then he needs to get 30 touches a game, and it's just not going to happen.
And Sean Atlee's breakout's going to be going from 66 average to 68.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. They'd be much better off with the younger guys. It was a Trent Dumont tackling his way to about a million points.
Any thoughts on Mason Wood? He was a bit like Hrovat, just built into the game a bit.
It's just the thing that stands out for me, and I know it's pre-season, so the skills aren't at their best, but for me, just North, they just lack quality.
They do.
And I can understand why they were so disappointed to let, what's his chops, Daniel Wells go. But I just worry about them as a team. Like, I just don't see it.
It's not great. It is not great, especially.
I thought Cunnington looked okay. I mean, I sort of hope he can bounce back because he really didn't get a run last year.
But they did have a lot of their key players out, your Browns and whatnot as well, because weight.
Browns and whatnot?
I can't remember who else was out.
Tarrant. I don't think there was. Yeah, Tarrant, Goldie. Their team's a bit of a mystery to me. There's a lot of what ifs. So, but the guys I'm comfortable with are McMillan and Higgins, and obviously Goldie.
Yeah.
And Tarrant, I guess, for your super coach is a later guy. But there's a lot of question marks around this team. It's we'll wait and see with these guys through the rest of the JLT.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, totally agree. And the bottom line is they are a club that is pretty much a salary cap relevant. I wouldn't say outside the four you mentioned would get picked up in the top 200 in a draft.
You wouldn't think so.
Oh, I wouldn't imagine, no.
No. All right, moving on now to Statesman's last game between the Brisbane and the Gold Coast Suns.
Yes, and before that, we'll just make sure we have a You Suck mini draft, and selected at number one is Statesman Aaron Hall, 127 off 75 minutes. Wow, what an absolute shocker. He was the number one midfielder. If Rocket wanted to display, this is who I'm backing in the midfield, he's done that. And he was my Burman. He was my number one Burman.
He did it last year in the first few rounds, and then look what happened, so give it time.
Yeah, certainly very worried. And I will say, what I didn't understand, and this could be let Tuke, let Hanley, let Hall all fight it out for the last midfield spot, but I felt very uncomfortable what my thoughts were going to be on that midfield, because none of it planned the way it was the case. So I am saying I suck already, which I think there'll be a lot of mini drafts throughout the season as we go, because if I can obviously admit when I make a mistake, I'll be dragging out your mistakes very quickly, gentlemen. So Hall was actually very impressive. So that's going to be a big step forward for him to get really good midfield rotations. Obviously, my basis of thoughts on him was the fact that even when there was only two midfielders left to pick up, Rocket actually dropped Hall. But maybe it's the lessons learnt. Maybe he's got the defensive part to his game already done. Tuke Miller was next, 98 off 87. Impressive. Let's say that he probably deserves to get some rotations. I'm a little bit worried when the Ablets of this world and Swallow playing full game time of who's actually going to get that midfield. Hanley was impressive, 76 off 77, and showing an inside midfield game as well as an outside. We know him as an outside midfielder. New challenge could be the key for him to excel. David Swallow was another one impressed, 57 off 52. They just gave him the limited minutes to start with, but he attacked the footy exceptionally well. You could tell he was hungry to go out there and play, and played accordingly. The not-so-good hit-outs were Jared Witts, 32 off 45. Interesting, he was given limited minutes. Now, whether they're just managing him at the moment, or they just wanted to have a quick look and make sure they give others the opportunity.
Split webbing right. In his hand again.
Again, that's interesting. But I will say his hit-out work and hit-out work to advantage was exceptional. So that's going to put him in good stead to be his number one. I'm still quite comfortable. I didn't realise about the webbing. Barlow, I cried for most of that night, 73 off 92. There is a strong possibility that Rocket is going to do what Lyon did. He looks slow, but we know he's slow. And that's why the reality is Barlow's got one position that's going to work, and that's in the guts. And whether that be a stopping midfielder or whether that be just go and do the grunt work midfielder, that's where he works. So if you try and play him as a sweeping defender, he hasn't got the pace to do that, and he's going to get found out. And as a high half forward, as they played at Freo for a little while, it just doesn't work. So I'm unsure of the role. I want to see it play out. Maybe they'll just go and do JLT1. Let's give the blokes that aren't going to get in the midfield time in Hall, Miller and Hanley a go. Let's give Swallow a few minutes and we'll bring in the others. not so good hit out as well, KK. It just didn't really impress me. And if you take that goal away from him, which I think was a 50 metre penalty for leading up to the kick, it was a pretty low output, 63 off 81. You take the goal out, you're talking in the 50s from 80 odd minutes. It's not what I expect for who I believe is going to be one of the key backmen for a long period of time. Moving on to Brisbane, it's a short list here. Zorko was impressive, 89 from 91, and was working hard. Rockcliffe was impressive, 72 off 60, and his use of the footy, besides one little passage of play where he had three kicks in the space of about 10 seconds, was actually pretty good. He looks trimmed down, looks like he's worked. I was a little bit worried that he spent too much time up forward, but when he got in the midfield, he really got the juice going. So happy with Rockcliffe's output. The not-so-good hit-out is Martin, and points per minute is impressive, 56 from 49. But it looked like Archie was the better ruckman.
Yeah, now that's a concern. That was worrying.
Very, very concerning. So in other words, he looks like he's going to be a person that's going to be at centre-half forward and spending 15% of game time as that extra midfield slant ruck rover.
And sliding down our draft boards.
Hawthorne coach, I did warn at the pre-season, very worried. They like the two, and the other one's up forward, and it looks like Martin's got that gig. And the last comment I'll make about this game is Rich, no, just no.
Even in the ultimate?
No.
The defender?
No.
I'm all over it.
This is the man 20, who's like, yeah, Brody Smith, Colin Jasny, give me me.
Daniel Rich is the line.
No, and I will say Fremantle copped a lot of flack when they didn't pick up Rich because apparently he was the best Western Australian when they had pick three, and they went for Stephen Hill. So West Coast got Nick Natanui, Fremantle got Stephen Hill. There was a lot of talk on the time that both clubs possibly missed out on the best player. The clubs were right. The people, the pundits were wrong.
Oh, but he won the Rising Star. So did Lewis Taylor.
His best football was 18 and 19.
Yeah.
There's a few like that.
There is. Yeah, get them all the time.
There's some that play their best footy at 12.
Was that you?
That was me.
No. I can't rate any of my period in playing as my best because they were all good.
Jono's just choking over here.
Choking big time.
Moving on now to the questions. We always got a few questions to round out the show here. And we've got Rob on Twitter. Second season keeper league, 12 teams, 8 keepers. All top tier rucks gone. Do you take the best available ruck in the first round of the draft?
Look, I think so. But it all depends on your mix. And I'll always go back to this. The reality is if your situation is that you're desperate to get the next ruck, then that's exactly what you should be doing. And I'll be looking at a Witz, Nankervis, and an English at the Western Bulldogs. He's going to be a Jet. People are quite impressed with him. But he's a long-term player. He's not a short-term. And maybe Tom Campbell might be in for a bit of early season form, but that's nothing. That's more of a waiver wire option, I do believe. But the bottom line, it's all based around what your mix is and what your strengths and weaknesses are compared against the rest of the list. With only 8 keepers, which is not my preferred option, the more keepers you have, the better your sort of list management structure can be. You want to be at least keeping 2 defenders, 2 forwards, 3 midfielders and 1 ruck. But look, if you haven't got a really good ruck, take that extra midfielder and pick up a Witz round 1. So if you haven't got someone that you can guarantee is not going to pump out decent scores for you for 22 rounds, pick up a ruckman round 1.
I wonder if Tom Hickey would be gone in that.
Be interesting.
It's a good question.
Very interesting. Paul on Facebook
He's got pick one in a Dream Team League, and he's picking Danger. What should he do on the return picks, i.e. does he go defender, mid, forward defender, etc., etc.? Cheers.
Yeah, I think it depends on the way other people have drafted. I mean, if there's a top defender and a top forward, you can grab him.
Absolutely. It'll, yeah, exactly right.
We've seen forwards slip down the draft board, so I'd expect you'd probably get, I mean, McRae and Dalhouse probably are gone, but you might get a Riewoldt.
Caddy.
Well, I wouldn't choose Caddy there, but I'd certainly be choosing one of the top defenders, and I think you'll get one.
Yep.
But it just depends who's there. I mean, Zach Merritt might have fallen back, so, yes.
And this is where you go to the tier system that you talk about, Steve. If you've got tier one in your defenders, and it might be three players, it might be Doherty, Adams, and Rory Laird, just using those three names as an example, they're tier one. If one of them are left and you've got no tier one forwards and no tier one midfielders, no tier one ruckman, then it's an easy choice. You pick your tier one defender.
Yep. Yep. Shane from Facebook all asked, sauce on steak, yes or no?
No.
What sort of sauce are we talking here?
I don't know. I assume tomato.
If it's tomato, oh, hell no. But a nice pepper sauce, hell yes.
No sauce. Just season it. Jesus, you're animals.
Well, you don't like a bit of garlic and butter mixed in?
No.
Really?
Season it.
Oh, I season it too and then put a sauce on.
Why bother then?
Extra flavour. Well, Statesman doesn't eat meat anyway, so.
We know he likes the pepper sauce.
Absolutely. Peppered steak, peppered shrimp, the whole lot.
When I was a kid, I liked mushroom sauce on my steak, but.
Just Gravox and mushroom. Nah. John on Facebook asks, since the Statesman gets so salty, what's his opinion on chicken salt, good or bad?
It's bad. Don't run it. It tastes like the sweat of a chicken. Who wants to taste that?
Maybe the chicken salt.
There's only one. It's you go high quality. It's the Himalayan pink salt.
I love
It's the Pinot, and of course it's the beautiful Tasmanian scallops.
You know what I love is at the Adelaide Oval, where they've got the chicken salt sign behind the ground. That's fantastic.
Adelaide chicken salt. It's quality stuff. And our last question for today, Tom Phillips, a good sleeper. Also, Zach Tui killed it. Can he keep it up?
Well, not to that level.
In the show, so.
Yeah, he's a little bit boom bustish, but maybe his floor's a little bit higher at the Cats. We'll wait and see. He's certainly worth a pick. And Tom Phillips, if he's picked round one, use a waiver claim on him, I guess. But yeah, it's a big wait and see with that last with the end of Collingwood's best 22, because there's a few guys fighting for those defensive bottom spots. Your Maynards, your Ramseys, your Smiths, and your
Sharon Goats.
How'd
he go on the weekend, by the way?
It's just preseason, mate. Just preseason.
And when we talked about the tips and tricks, I think this is where Tom Phillips comes in. I discussed using the Thursday or Friday night game to fill up your emergencies to see if they get a good score. Well, when Collingwood are playing, Tom Phillips is a classic example where you can throw him on that emergency. If he puts a fantastic score on, you use him, but you should be dropping him to the waiver wire afterwards and bringing in the next guy.
Fair enough. That wraps up the show for this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by heading over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or at Statesman33. Head over to Facebook, where we are The Draft Doctors in the search engine, and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au.
And Friday's show. Friday's show is going to be a banger. I promise you will love it.
We've got some great, great special guests who have given their fantasy knowledge of who's going to be the BNF for 2017.
And given their time.
Absolutely.
They didn't have to. No, I'm big timed us. Everyone was fantastic.
So thank you to all the guys who gave us their BNF tips.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.